This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The West Coast Women's Legal Education and Action Fund is calling on the British Columbia government to implement a province-wide anti-bullying policy that specifically addresses homophobic and transphobic bullying in schools. Research has found that gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, and queer kids experience bullying at a much higher rate than other students. Two-thirds of LGBTQ students report that they feel unsafe at school, and more than one in five are physically assaulted or harassed due to their sexual orientation. Suicide rates are also high among LGBTQ students. West Coast Leaf is adding its voice to the many other groups advocating for a province-wide sexual orientation and gender identity policy for BC schools. We're joined on the phone by Laura Track, Legal Director at West Coast Leaf.
Welcome to People First Radio, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
The West Coast Leaf news release states that the government has a legal obligation to provide an education system that's inclusive of all students. Tell us more about that legal obligation.
Sure. Well, human rights legislation in British Columbia requires providers of public services to do so in a non-discriminatory way. So that's legislation that we have existing in BC that requires a public institution like a school to make sure that the public education it's providing is provided in a way that doesn't discriminate against groups who are protected by the Human Rights Code, and that includes lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered kids. We also have word from the Supreme Court of Canada, as well as courts at other levels, saying that we really need to think about the role that schools play in Canadian society. Schools are important arenas for the exchange of ideas and for fostering the values of our society in students, and those values include diversity, equality, and respect for human rights. So on the basis of the language of the courts, as well as human rights legislation in BC, we can say with confidence that school boards have a duty, a legal obligation, to provide a discrimination-free environment where everyone, where every student feels equally free to participate.
Laura, hasn't the government of British Columbia already taken action in this area?
I think the statistics that were read out just before we began our conversation show us that we've seen a failure by the school boards of British Columbia to meet this legal obligation. The statistics show that gay and lesbian and transgendered students are bullied at a very high and disproportionate rate compared to other students. And we also know that suicide rates, as well as dropout rates among LGBTQ students, are very high compared to the rest of the student population. The action that British Columbia has taken so far has been to require school boards to implement general codes of conduct. And those codes of conduct must reference the BC Human Rights Code and must set out the prohibited grounds of discrimination, and that includes discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. So that's really as far as BC has gone so far. And there are a couple of problems with this approach. Number one is that even these very minimal requirements set out by the BC government have only been complied with by a handful of school boards across the province. The BC Teachers Federation did a Freedom of Information request that showed that only 15 out of 60 school boards across the province have complied with this direction. Furthermore, another problem with these general codes of conduct is that they really don't confront the issue of homophobic and transphobic bullying that we see happening in our schools and that can have such a devastating impact on kids. They don't address those specific concerns and the specific needs of LGBTQ kids. A final problem with codes of conduct, even ones that do reference the Human Rights Code, is that our Human Rights Code is lacking in protection for transgendered people. Discrimination on the basis of gender identity and gender expression is not actually prohibited by the Human Rights Code as the language stands right now. So a private member's bill has been introduced by MLA Spencer Chandra Herbert to amend the Human Rights Code and ensure that transgendered people are protected from discrimination on the basis of their gender identity and expression. But so far, we don't have that protection in the Human Rights Code. So these are all reasons why these general codes of conduct that confront bullying in a generic way simply don't go far enough. We really need to tackle the problem head on and acknowledge the issues of homophobic and transphobic bullying in BC schools.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
A national study has confirmed what many people already know to be the reality faced by LGBTQ students in Canadian high schools. The study found that LGBTQ students are exposed to language that insults their dignity as part of everyday school experience, and youth with LGBTQ family members are constantly hearing their loved ones being denigrated. LGBTQ students and students with LGBTQ parents are also experiencing much higher levels of verbal, physical, sexual, and other forms of discrimination, harassment, and abuse than other students. The West Coast Women's Legal Education and Action Fund, LEAF, has joined other groups in British Columbia calling on the BC government to implement a province-wide anti-bullying policy that specifically addresses homophobic and transphobic bullying in schools. We're joined on the phone by Laura Track, the legal director at West Coast LEAF.
Laura, we've been speaking about codes of conduct or anti-homophobia policies in schools. Do they make a difference? And if so, how?
What we see from research that's been conducted across the country by an organization called EGAL is that anti-bullying policies that specifically confront homophobic and transphobic bullying actually do make a difference. According to EGAL's research, LGBTQ students from schools with specific anti-homophobia policies reported significantly fewer incidents of physical and verbal harassment due to their sexual orientation. So I think that we can safely say that policies do make a difference, but of course, merely having a policy in place is not sufficient to meaningfully address the issue of bullying and discrimination against LGBTQ kids. The ignorance and the intolerance that foster homophobia and transphobia really require concerted action from educators and from government to decrease the stigma and to improve understanding of LGBTQ people more broadly, and to really help students to understand the impacts of these forms of discrimination in our schools and in our communities.
The Burnaby School District became the 13th school district in the province of BC out of a total of 60 to implement a policy specifically aimed at combating homophobia, transphobia, and heterosexism. Tell us about their experience and what occurred there.
I think the Burnaby experience really helps to illustrate why our call for a province-wide piece of legislation that provides clear direction to school boards on the measures that they need to take, why that is so important. The Burnaby School District faced significant opposition from some parent groups who opposed the move on the basis that they believed it was an activist agenda on the part of Burnaby teachers. And I think that the experience in Burnaby really shows that districts that try to take on these issues and confront the realities of discrimination against LGBTQ students on an individual basis will continue to run into those problems. And I think that we need direction from our premier and from the provincial government to say this form of bullying is unacceptable. All forms of bullying are unacceptable, but we need to acknowledge that homophobic and transphobic bullying is happening. It's happening in disproportionate numbers, and schools need direction and guidance as well as tools and resources to really confront that bullying in a meaningful way.
Now, you wrote a letter to the Premier of British Columbia and also simultaneously to the Education Minister of the province requesting change, more attention given to this problem. What do you expect will happen next?
Well, we're really heartened to hear from Premier Clark. We've heard repeatedly from her during her time as premier, and as well, even before or in the interim of her involvement in politics, that bullying is an issue that is important to her, that she takes seriously and wants to confront. What we haven't yet heard from the provincial government is a willingness to tackle homophobic and transphobic bullying specifically. And so that's really what we want to make sure is at the forefront of their mind as they're considering what their initiatives on bullying are going to be. We appreciate that they take the issue in general very seriously, and what we hope and expect to come out of our advocacy, as well as advocacy coming from a number of different organizations. For example, your listeners might be interested in looking at the Purple Letter campaign, which was a wonderful campaign happening last year around these same kinds of issues. We're really hoping that all of this advocacy together will help the Premier and her government understand the specific concerns of LGBTQ students and to develop province-wide anti-bullying legislation that really tackles this problem.
Laura Track, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
Thanks so much for having me.
Laura Track is the legal director at West Coast Women's Legal Education and Action Fund. You can find them online at westcoastleaf.org. For more information about homophobia in Canadian schools, you can visit egale.ca. That's egale.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.